Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, providing education on Job 1 for humanity, climate restabilization.
Come visit universespirit.org and learn more about the great adaptive challenges and transformative evolutionary adventures of our future.
It's June 2nd, 2015. Wouldn't you know it? This is Insight Out, the naked truth, coming to you live from Lupin Lodge in the Los Gatos Hills of California, where clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked. And I'm Errol Strider.
And I am Rochelle Alicia Strider. Welcome to our home at Lupin Lodge. We invited you over tonight for some conversation, a few laughs, several spiritual perspectives, and as many surprises as possible.
By the way, the reason we have so many spiritual perspectives is we allow our many sub-personalities to just come out and tell us their spiritual perspective. So you might be hearing from some sub-personality voices tonight. Don't mind them. They each have something to say that's meaningful to them. But here's the good news. Our show is brought to you by Go Raw Foods, 100% raw food that not only tastes good, but it's good for you. It's the best of both worlds and maybe a couple of galaxies thrown
in. And Go Raw can be found at Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, and the organic section of Costco. Go to goraw.com to find out where Go Raw can be found in your neighborhood.
Naked Truth, Go Raw.
It goes well together.
We're getting down to the bare essentials.
Oh, God. I hope. That's a bad one.
You think?
That's a bad one. Okay. Well, tonight we're going to be dealing with phrases that get us moving in life that we use a lot and don't necessarily spend much time wondering what they are about. Like, you think? And that's what we're doing tonight. So it's very funny that we're saying we don't think about it much. But the phrase is, you think? A lot of people say, yeah. Most people say, yeah, or yes, or sure, I think.
You think?
I think.
The amount of time we spend thinking is ceaseless almost, isn't it? Think about it. Since so much of our lives is spent in the thought domain, and our thoughts, to a great extent, determine our reality. Well, that's why we thought we'd have a conversation about thinking. What is thinking? How to think better? What's in a thought? Being thoughtful. Thought adjuster. Come to think of it, to expand your life, expand your thinking. Or perhaps, as Thomas A. Edison remarked, 5% of the people think, 10% of people think they think, and the other 85% would rather die than think.
What's all this thinking
you
about?
You think?
You think, yeah.
Like thoughts are in our thinking process. If there's anything that's more close to us than almost any activity that we do, because it's nonstop unless we learn how to stop the thinking process.
Unless we think out loud, we're just talking.
You know, I discovered an interesting thing about talking
and thinking at the same
out
time.
Loud.
Can you think and talk at the same time?
Only if I use English. If I use another language, you know, no sabe nada.
No, but you can't. You're articulating your thoughts when you're talking. So you're not thinking about the things you're articulating because you're articulating them.
Not only that, but the thinking almost inevitably involves language. You can picture or imagine something that's visual, but as soon as the thinking kicks in, it uses and travels through language.
So, and usually the language of the person who's doing the thinking.
Usually, unless they're speaking in tongues. You know, I don't. Wait a minute.
I know you're going to say something ridiculous.
No, just wait. I actually spoke in tongues. Yes, I spoke in tongues. Of course, Rochelle say, "What's new?" And I would say, "You think?"
You think is right.
When I early on in my spiritual journey, when I was in like my mid-20s and I was living in Miami, Florida, and I was teaching theater and directing and choreographing at the time and those kinds of things, but I was really interested in spirituality or whatever this phenomena was that might have the remote possibility of providing for me a believable and viable path to eternal life.
I always knew that was your motivation.
I mean, come on.
Just don't let me die now.
Yeah, just don't let me die. If there's a way we can avoid the dying, one of the things I've learned is that by living a life fully is a way of avoiding the dying, at least in the now, that you're having that full living life.
You think? You said an interesting thing when you were talking about thinking and how we think and all that, and you used the word thoughtful. And I realized that when we say thoughtful, it's a very heart-connected image, being thoughtful. It's not just thinking,
right,
but you're thinking of me. You're thinking of someone. You're thinking of something in a way to protect it, to take care of it, to be nice to it, whatever, is being thoughtful. It always is accompanied by an emotional response, positive emotional response. It's a loving thought, being thoughtful. It's a caring thought. It's a serving thought. That's what being thoughtful is.
You like think?
If I
Let me say
I'm going to have to say yes so many times tonight. Because if I offer you something when you're hot and uncomfortable, and I offer you a glass of cold water, that's a thoughtful act.
Unless it's poison and you work for your mean sister-in-law.
Well, I might be thoughtful in terms of getting rid of you.
Right. I want to say something about thoughtful, now that you brought it up. People who are into marketing and over the years, and hopefully some of you are listening out there perhaps who have assisted Rochelle and I in trying to market this strange phenomenon that is who we are and how we express ourselves. Of course, one of the most common questions that one is asked with a marketing person is, who's your audience? The simplest way for me to describe our audience is
who
to
you
say
are listening.
Thoughtful people. In both sense of the word, the way in which you were describing it, thoughtful as in being aware of and sensitive and willing to be engaged in what others are dealing with, come from the heart, but also thoughtful, who think about things and ponder and give pause and actually reflect and dive into a thought and muck about a bit, like, you think, that's the thought for tonight. You think. So we're diving into that whole gestalt, the whole phenomenon of all that thinking and all that that's going on. And I know one person in particular, a friend of mine, a hypnotherapist. Alan, if you're there, I love you, Butchik. Anyway, if you have this thing where thought is just this beating over the head with its constant blah, 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 never stopping. There's that kind of thinking. It's chaotic and it's careless and it just goes on. And one might ask, and I'd like to address this right off the boat here because I think it's a good question. How do you stop that stuff? I don't think you stop it per se, but I
did
do.
Did you ask a question that you're answering?
Yes. I don't think you stop it, but you learn how to head it off at the past.
That's funny.
You think?
You think.
And what I mean by that is to appreciate that there's an inertia to everything, especially things that have been taken over by the subconscious mind that just kind of run pell-mell on their own. Everything from breathing to incessant chatter in your mind. And the first thing you have to do is you have to ride with it. You actually have to pay attention to it. You have to listen to it and think about what it says.
So you have to think about what you're thinking about.
Yes, you have to give it its the attention. And then you can start imagining things like, okay, I'm going to give this thing my attention, but I'm going to put it on a train, and the train's going to go about half a mile, and it's my train, and I'm on that train. And in a half a mile, all the thought, I'll give him a half a mile. I'll let them ride along, all these thoughts. Go ahead, think away. Think. Say what you got to say. Okay, but at the end of the half a mile, you all got to get off my train. It's just me going the next step. You without any thought. And that could last for as long as I knew a master who achieved it for like 3 seconds. But he was a master. He was like a Buddhist teacher. So it's probably not going to last long because these thoughts, they love being on this train with you and they love just getting in there and muck about in your mind. And when they do, just stop and take a moment, acknowledge the thought, and thank you for sharing, and then turn again toward the now and just being aware. And I'll say one more thing and then Rochelle can ask if I really think this. But you have to practice it. It's not something that you get overnight. Now, I would say that hypnotherapy can be very helpful because you're changing it more quickly, stopping that inertia, because by going through hypnosis or speaking directly to the subconscious mind in language that it understands, by the way, which is very important, and more on that perhaps in another show, you can kind of intercede, do an intervention, and let that incessant chatter part of you know that it's not really needed right now.
Well, the interesting thing about thought is that it's so varied. It's as varied as every moment of your life. And there are so many different kinds of thoughts. There are thoughts that can scare you. There are thoughts that inspire you. There are thoughts that move you into more thoughts. Thoughts are varied as thoughts. But when I was little, and I remember this vividly, and it's scary, I must have been maybe 7, 8 years old, but I started to go to sleep, and my thoughts would be going so fast that they would scare me. The locomotive was out of control. It didn't have a driver anymore. They went beyond what I could handle. And I remember that, and I didn't know how to shut it off. It was like I had to shut off that part, and I didn't know how to shut it off. You know, I had no methodology. I was 8 years old or something like that. You know, I'd never talked to anybody about this. But what I did was I would just go with them. I would just not resist them. And then I'd be off in this place.
That's where I found you, I think.
When I'd be gone, and then I'd come back.
Didn't I find you in one of those places once? You were like off there?
You were off there, then it's very probable that we did meet off there.
Yeah, I'm off there a lot. I like to think I'm a thoughtful guy. I mean, who wouldn't?
I am a thoughtful guy. I think about a lot of things. I am a thoughtful guy. I think a lot of thoughts about a lot of things. I think about space and the vastness of it. I think about cake and how much I love it. I think about if Walmart is good or evil. I think tattoos are cool on other people. I think about the unexplored depths of the ocean. I think about the difference in ointment and lotion. I think about if I should wax my back. I think a handful of nuts is a healthy snack. I am a thoughtful guy. Right now I'm thinking about the millions of microorganisms living on my body. It's like I'm a mothership, a 100% male mothership. I think about how I could get on the local news if I stroll into a McDonald's and strip down nude. I think about a hot dog while I'm eating it, but then I pause because I'm thinking about its ingredients. I think about the first guy who ever shaved, and how many times did he shave before the second guy caved? I think about if a friend were choking on ice, just be patient would be the best advice. I think about that moment when I'm drifting off to sleep, and then my body jerks and I'm falling suddenly. I wonder if that's a defense mechanism for something, like when you're sleeping on a cliff. Or just top bunking. Sometimes I think how old guys like to whittle, and how if I start now and just whittle a little, my whittling skills will hone before I get old, and I'll pwn all my friends at the retirement home. I think of all the places that a penny's been. Like, seriously, think of all the places that a penny's been at. It could have been in the pocket of the president's suit, but it's probably also been in some toddler's poop. Cause little kids eat pennies like they're Flintstone vitamins, accruing no interest while traveling inside of them. Reentry circulation might boost the economy, but I'd rather not pee with a penny that's performed a colonoscopy. I think that our universe is really one of many, with many parallel me's stretching to infinity, doing activities similarly to me, yet at the same time done slightly differently. And seemingly, right now, they could be thinking this same thought as me. Well, a similar thought, but not the same thought exactly.
That's pretty deep.
I am a thoughtful guy. Right now, I'm thinking about the people who invented words. Did they just look at stuff and say the first thing that came to their mind? And if so, how do you explain duffel bag?
think, how do I know that you and me see the same colors the same way when you and me see? Is my red blue for you or my green your green too? Could it be true we see differing hues and say we do? Then how would we discover this fact? And even if we did, would there be any impact? I don't think this would affect us personally, but I think it would have ripple effects throughout the interior design industry. Think about if I was turned into an ant. I want my loved ones to know, so I thought of a plan. I gather twigs and leaves and write my name on the ground. Then I wait for my family and friends to crowd around. But now I'm thinking that when they saw it, they think the human me wrote it and an ant was crawling on it. Then not realizing the ant me was really the real me. In a strange twist of fate, I think they'd probably kill me. I am a thoughtful guy. I am a thoughtful guy. And right now I'm thinking about what if I was abducted by aliens while I had a really bad farmer's tan.
The aliens might incorrectly conclude that our species was two-toned.
That's exactly what I thought. And then somehow, through this error, my tan line saved the human race.
I like that thought.
Yeah, I think a lot of thoughts like that.
Me too.
They relate. They do indeed. Phenomena of nature and mind, roses, and the green-shaded thoughts of originality. They relate all those things that hang about waiting to be discovered. Wood, plastic, computerized bodies sustained on energy from one source which relates to all. Relativity? Then why shouldn't trucks, Schopenhauer, and cartilage relate? The minds of those who see and induct are not so distinct from those who mold and fantasize. Blend them, then. Rotisserized amalgamation yielding conceptual porridge. And then drink up the whole bowl, for the bears come back to find Goldilocks, who crossed over seeming boundaries of differences. After all, it all relates, so why not discard semblances of cardboard barriers that stand in between like so many impotent penises? If it relates, then why do you and me stand aparted by footballs and Nixon and the frosted sweet white sugar of Karl Marx and red cherries, which all come together in the lovely atom? Disenchanted but wise from experience, lonely for more comrades from the human ranks who won't scorn other molecules, though they be different. Green, orange, and black colors mushed together in Einstein, Shaw, Mailer, and Agnew, united by Gautama the Buddha, who listens for centuries in order to relate to Jesus, who called back to him through time, the relator. You think?
Definitely.
This poem that I wrote in 1972, the same year that I bought my cowboy boots, which I still have. It's called They Relate. I'll stop there. That's about halfway through it, but you know, hopefully that gave you a little jar. And Rhett and Link sang the song I'm a Thoughtful Guy, which I thought was really clever and funny. And this is Insight Out the Naked Truth. You think?
I think you think.
See, to me, it just seems obvious, but I guess to somebody else, it might seem a little abstract.
How many did he say? Don't look
5%
at the guy, then think.
Right, 80.
So 80% of the people don't know what you're talking about. Yeah.
That's why I do radio mime. Watch. Okay, so what I'm doing now is my hands are moving.
Don't talk about it.
This is radio mime.
I know, but mime has to be seen, so let them see it.
Okay, imagine it.
The next 60-second silence.
Imagine mime happening, but we'll continue to talk to the people who would like to listen some more.
Let me put in a cent here.
1 cent.
Huh. Like, I was thinking that there's so many of my thoughts lead to right action. I love those thoughts. To be spiritual, I have to spiritualize my thoughts. Didn't Thomas Merton say that?
Well, actually said spiritualize your desires.
Okay, so I'll say this. To be spiritualized, spiritualize your thoughts. My very thinking, what do I think about? If I spend even a little bit of time thinking of love, thinking about it, just thinking how wonderful it is and how beautiful it is, and putting a structure on non-structure. The structure of my mind and thoughts is what I'm putting on it. But because I want to eat it, I bring in taste.
That's good.
I don't just put it in my mouth and swallow it. I bring in taste. And the taste allows me to create a whole other relationship with food. Taste. So that's what it's like to have a spiritual thought. It's like tasting the thought, just allowing it to fill me and move me into whatever I need to be moved into.
I would like to say something here now. Oh, hi, Professor Guttenschnabber. Yeah, this is Professor Guttenschnabber, and I've been listening in to this conversation, and I believe that when you are thinking in these manners, especially when you select the thoughts you would like to have and then think of them often and say them. For example, one thought that I had recently was like the thing I said in the opening here, which was to expand your life and expand the thinking. Think bigger thoughts. Think thoughts that you've never sung before. Think intentionally, put yourself into a brand new thought. Look at something that you may have thought in the past, this is a refrigerator, and have a new thought about it, like a refrigerator. This is like two doors that are an integral part of a rocket ship that's turned upside straight, but as soon as it goes sideways, the rocket ship releases and the best food in the world comes out into your mouth.
Professor, I think of a refrigerator, I can think of contents, and they are always changing. So the content of my refrigerator, like the content of my mind, may always have something delicious in there that I want to eat.
That is so good!
Thank you, Mildred. A little high pitch for us here on the show tonight, though, but thank you. I agree. That was really good. You know, I have to do a little complaining, though.
Complaining?
Yeah.
As
yeah.
a complaining thought?
Well, let's see. You help me decide. I have this beautiful, loving woman here who speaks of love. I'm trying to see if I can find a complaint in there.
Come on, surely you have a complaint. I know you could come up with one because you are a thinking
yes.
man.
Yes, I am thinking.
You can think of a complaint.
I remember when I was studying dance in Colorado in Steamboat Springs, Colorado in 1963, and we had like an 8 o'clock ballet class. And my actual bedroom was right under the ballet class, if you can imagine, a little room that they gave me. And we had this gal, Kay, who came in, and she was like, good morning. Good morning, boys and girls. Good morning. Let's go up to the bar and let's
she
start.
Didn't speak like that.
But... No, but that was the feeling of her. Oh, good morning. Everything in you is like, oh, my God. Can't tell if that's the scratching of the chalkboard or a chainsaw going off in my bathroom with me.
God. That's how irritating it was at 8 o'clock in the morning. Oh. Well, it had to be earlier than 8 o'clock.
Well, whatever. So there's a thought that jumped in. All right. The urge for you to drop in that thought, well, it had to be earlier than 8 o'clock in the morning because you had to be there at 8.
Right.
That thought.
Right. Because I'm very realistic.
But I mean, to stop and look at a thought like that, that insisted on interjecting into the conversation with another point of view, and to examine, well, what was that thought's motivation and what drove that thought and how to decide which words
it
to
was
put together.
Influenced by the thought that you had, influenced the thought that I had, because it's like playing ping pong when you have thoughts. You bounce thoughts back and forth. So if you have a thought, it inspires a thought in me, and then I give you my thought, which inspires a thought in you. And then we have a thoughtful ping-pong game.
You think?
I think.
Speaking of thought, this is a very important to me to ponder line that I've pondered for 40 years and continued to ponder. And maybe you all could put on your pondering cap and ponder with me. Parenthetically, I do want to recommend, in case I forget it during the show, in terms of thinking and thinking styles and thinking perspectives, Edward de Bono, and his thinking hats and his whole perspective on thinking and the way we use our minds. And it's really a great tool, especially if you're part of some kind of group or organization that needs to think together. And that's a whole other subject, isn't it? The thinking together.
I don't think you think together, because I think thinking in a group, for a group to be really successful, each person's thoughts become part of the whole, so that you weave this incredible blanket with each person's thoughts, because we're going someplace in a group. You have an intention, and you need to all be able to get to the same place at pretty much the same time. Otherwise, somebody's kind of hanging out all by themselves. So you try to get to wherever you're going at the same time. But how you get there, how you think your way to that place, to be really high on the list of high experiences, each person's thoughts have to be honored.
You think?
God, that was a long quiet.
So I was trying to come up with the word "you think," and it really works there.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it really works there. So I wanted to pop it in.
How many people say "you think"? You think?
I knew a guy in Cincinnati.
Right, that's what I thought.
Actually, what he'd say, this is something I think is more common, which I think should be, you know, because we say it all the time. Like when people say, you know.
So would that be equivalent to "you think"?
That's something for a future discussion, whether you know and you think are equivalent. What's your first thought?
Is my thought what I know? Or do my thoughts precede what I know? Or do my thoughts come after what I know? And are they one and the same?
Now we're getting heavy.
Rabbi, heavy? I thought that was kind of fun.
No, I'm getting heavy.
Oh, you're getting heavy.
Because I'm going to invite Rabbi Moshe Greenberg
to come in.
He's got something to tell us. Oh, I'm so happy to be here this evening. This is such a good thing to talk about thinking. I think about thinking, and I know people who think a lot, and I know people who don't think much at all. They're very happy not to be thinking. So it's everything from one side to the other. But I wanted to share something I learned, that I advanced. You can have the mind which was in Christ. I love it, Christ. Christ is perfect. Perfect specimen of God-man. Whatever that is, it exists. Could have existed as easily, and this man is dead man. But it exists. That's the main thing. And so the Christ, the mind, it's not just like a guy or several guys dressed up to look like Christ. No, it's a thinking process. And the Christ mind, you can have, this is what I heard, each of us can have the Christ mind by the following simple technique.
You think?
And here it is. It says you can have the mind that was in Christ, the Christ mind, by the same technique by which you accept one another's opinion over your own.
Opinion or thought?
Let me consult my automatic memory database in my capital and see what we got here. By the same technique by which you accept another person's idea as your own.
Idea. Oh, now here's another word that was just come up in. Idea and thought. To me, thinking is like the most exciting thing I can do when I'm waiting for somebody. That's why I'm never bored. I can think. Thinking is not boring. I thought that guy's song was wonderful. I'm a thoughtful guy. All the things you can think about all the time.
So two guys, by the way.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I got that near the end. Don't take me away from my thought.
See, I did the same thing you did. I had this thing that had this urge that said, well, let's get specific now. Let's not be vague, and let's make sure it's exactly this way. We both did it. You think?
I don't know what you're talking about, but that's okay. Where was I?
Well, think about it for just a minute while we hear from Jimmy Buffett.
Jellyfish don't pay rent. They don't walk, they don't talk with some Euro trash accent. They're just simple protoplasm, clear as cellophane. They ride the winds of fortune, life without a brain. In one ear and out the other, don't you get crisscrossed. I recommend you try a little mental floss. Small problems, they keep me so upset and send me seeking shelter beneath my mosquito net. I stay there for hours, protected from the night, all those insects and vipers, other things that bite. In one ear and out the other, don't you get crisscrossed. I recommend you try a little mental floss.
But do they all, oh, do they all relate? Please, for I want them to, comes the voice of ignorance, thirsting for some bit of truth to impregnate the cavity created by dispersed semen who know only the holes of lost virgins, who want to copulate more than anything, by God, to relate. Kiss us then in our ineptitude and allow for the waiting slumber of evolving times. When men learn that war is too disgustingly bad, though it opened up travel agencies in the past. When mighty Caesar fought and died for the Irish revolt and the Jews for Jesus sang out at the Kremlin for some good old American pie. For flowers and men know the same home after death. So why not during life? Remember, there's only one of you in the universe, at least this one. More to come when the sun-baked outer ages reveal God in his shorts and undershirts digging up some new turf. So let's find a new word for people, okay? For they're apt to win, and we want to be ready for the occasional with trumpets blaring and Will Rogers come to life. So get on the bandwagon, Charlie. It's not too late. For when our fathers created this country, they knew. So don't hold back. Bathe in glory of rocks and sand and garnished pickles and Lyndon Johnson, who did the best he could, and it'll all work out in the end anyway, because do you know why? I am that I am. I am that I am. I am.
Mental.
And we're back.
Well, we didn't go anywhere.
Oh, you think?
What was the name of that song by Jimmy Buffett?
Mental Floss.
Mental Floss. So
maybe if you think of those haphazard, insane thoughts, imagine taking a little piece of dental floss up into there. Imagine that their thoughts are like in between your teeth. You're just going to kind of pull them out, and then you'll be free to have your mind available for some, well, creative thinking. It's a different kind of thinking, I would say.
I was talking to a friend the other day, and we were talking about raising children, and she said she really listened to the fact that you shouldn't say no to your child unless it's to preserve their life and some other person's life or the thing's life. But if they're doing something you don't like, you redirect them. And I thought, when you were talking before about paying attention to your thoughts, then you can redirect them. Like you could have anxious thoughts, fearful thoughts, and you can redirect them. Like you said, make creative thoughts, have a loving thought, have a thought of architecture.
You think?
Mm-hmm. I think, yes. So I think that redirecting your thoughts is a level of consciousness that one gets to. Otherwise, you're thinking about the things you have to do. You're thinking about mundane things. I shouldn't judge that they're mundane. But your thoughts are mostly about material things and your relationship to them. Most people.
I don't know. I'm not in their heads.
I know. And they probably would not want to be in yours.
But let me ask you this, Ken. Thoughts in and up, you think? Can thoughts have a deleterious or actual positive effect in your life that can be felt? Can your thoughts contribute to you having that felt experience? Because when you think about most of our human activities, we're all seeking certain felt experience, the felt experience of eating or screwing or breathing or driving in a fast car or being on a yacht.
Well, a thought is like a preface to that. You see somebody and you think about that person and you go, wow, I really like that person. And immediately that thought of liking that person moves into an emotional state, or you've had the emotional state and now you're thinking about the emotional state. But I think that they work together because those thoughts lead to action, I think, all the time.
They can. Not right. All thoughts lead to action, but all actions come from a thought?
Right. Yes, I would say so.
What about just the reflex? Something comes up and it scares you and you duck. Well, Is that a thought?
Maybe it's a fast thought that's, oh, shit, I'm going to get killed.
Okay, how fast can you say, oh, shit, I'm going to be killed?
That's
try
fast.
It. Oh, shit, I'm going to be killed. Not fast enough if the thing is really going to kill you.
But I don't know.
It could have gotten there by then.
I don't know. You know, that's slow thoughts. Maybe that we have thoughts that run at atomic speed and we have no way of knowing, but they are still thoughts.
Okay. Here's a question for you. Sometimes, for example, I'll walk out of the house and I'll just remember that I needed the blah, blah, blah. Not that it's that often, but
so a memory is a thought.
But that thought will occur to me. That's what I'm saying. It's like I'm not looking for that. I'm not thinking it. But something happened that important thought worked its way up to the forefront of my mind. It got my attention because I really did need to take that thing or things like that.
I love those kinds of thoughts. And without them, I would forget the thing.
You think? So how about you all out there? How are y'all doing there, partners? This is Toby again from coming in off the ranch now. And, sitting there watching them cattle, we got a lot of time to think. A little white, beautiful person over there. I love looking at your wife here, Errol. I hope you're not mine here. She's a looker.
Toby.
Well, what can I say? You got to call it the way you see it. But thinking about this thinking here, I'm sitting out there on a horse or sitting by a fireside at night or just sitting in front of my laptop. I get to thinking, like those boys, I like that song y'all played there. Thinking about everything, and that whole notion about it all relates, you know. You could probably track anything, any of those images, anything from one thing to another. It'd be an unbroken track somewhere you'd find it, which means that it's all connected. And so I think that's the most important thing. And that goes back to what the rabbi was talking about, because I've been thinking about that too. And that is, if two people accept one person's idea as your own, think about that one, accept another person's idea as your own. So all of a sudden they say something that wasn't yours at all, and then not only do you let it in and you let it hover in your mind for a certain while, but you actually take on that notion and hold it yourself. Man, that's something. Now, but if we do that a lot, this is what I get. This is why it's that mind of Christ. is that if you do it a lot and you start doing it fast enough, you start plugging into the fundamental energy of movement, of reciprocal movement that characterizes the entire universe. Say one more thing about it. And if you need a good hint of why this theory has a lot of potential to it, is you just look at what happens when you're on your way to having an orgasm. There's a lot of movement back and forth usually, and man, it leads to a terrific moment. Admit it. And that's a good hint from the universe. If you learn how to do that on various levels, at the very least, the mental one, you're going to have another form of ecstasy.
So you'd call it F-thinking.
The thinking word?
How about that? F-word.
But the F-dash-dash, the inking word?
You can eliminate that. That's all right. I'm sorry. I just blushed all the way down to my toes for saying that.
Some of you are maybe wondering, what's it like on the radio when you're blushing all the way down to your toes?
You can't see it, but I can feel it.
Who is self-conscious here at our own house with just the notion that I'm talking to her, blushing from her head to her toes.
Oh, you're bad. You're bad. What do I think of you?
Mm, you think? Mm-hmm. Let me just kind of set the stage again. What we're doing here at Inside Out, The Naked Truth, we like to dive into these significant perspectives that are characterized by things like you think. Didn't we do one, what did you expect? We did some last few shows on these different things. And what makes me believe that these are things that matter is because they're endless. You can say them over and over and always make them relevant.
You think?
See?
All right, we have done. I wrote them all down. So what? Close. Close.
Close.
And we did one. I beg your pardon.
I beg your pardon?
And then we did imagine that.
I beg your pardon?
Imagine that.
Close.
You think? You ready yet?
Ready yet?
And what'd you expect?
What'd you expect?
And what's the catch? We did one.
If you track these things and you kind of set your mind down these paths, looking as we do for revelation, in other words, using language to take you below language to that subterranean, almost volcano-like lava. I think I used that in one of my poems, Lava Love, because that feels like such a powerful image that it's all ready to burst out. It's just waiting for an opening in the surface and some language to carry it out into the world.
You know what I love about thinking? It needs nothing. I mean, you don't have to have accoutrements to think. You don't have to have flavors to think. You can just think. You don't have to be any particular place to think. You don't have to be any human being to think. You can all think. It's a property of our humanness, thinking. And I find that when people say we should stop thinking, I don't agree. I don't think we should stop thinking. I just think we need to redirect our thoughts.
Right? We need to take command of our thoughts. I heard the metaphor that the mind is like the bow and the thoughts are like the arrows and you're the archer. To think of it that way. And then when the mind and those thoughts run the ship, this is not good. They're not good.
Why is it not good?
Oh.
I think it's a point where you have to do that because it's like everything else. So you feel a little bit more secure. When you go out into open waters without a captain at the helm, it can feel really scary, right?
Yes.
So you need a certain point in your life. You need to be directing all that because you feel in control, and you need to feel in control at that point because it's too scary to be out of control. Now, when you're out of control, that's a whole other world.
You think?
I do. When you are letting yourself float in that place, your thoughts then are like reporters, if you have them at all. Just they're reporting on what's happening. But after the fact, you just allow yourself to have this experience that has no thought. And yet the thought comes later when you want to remember it. So if the thought is moved into the memory files.
You think?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, what I got out of that is that there's a certain surrender process. And sometimes it's really important to be reminded of.
Doesn't mean much. It doesn't mean anything at all. The life I've left behind me is a cold room. Across the last line.
Sarah McLachlan,
wow.
Sweet Surrender. You think?
I think. This is an interesting thing. You know, like you used the word before, creative thoughts. And I always think there's a certain amount of surrender in a creative
thought. The surrender is I have to allow myself to, allow whatever is going to stimulate my creativity to impact me, to fully allow it. Like if I see, I wrote a poem years ago called Homes in the Morning, and I woke up one morning in San Francisco and there were these homes, and I just had this poem that came out of it. But first it was being impacted, impressed in a literal and the figurative way of doing it. The phenomenon of the visual experience or auditory or mental experience that's coming my way, it pushes into me almost like a key in a mold that then takes that on, and it's created that empty space, which is the mold. And then my creativity gets to take that mold, like it's that tree, that's the mold, or that story from whenever is the mold. And I get to make up what goes in it, what gets in the mold. That's how the creative process emerges for me. You think?
For me, it's creative thinking. First, the surrender. It's sort of allowing a thought in rather than having just thoughts there. Once again, it's taking charge of my thoughts. I want to create. In that moment, I am enjoined with that which I want to create with. And that intention allows me to move into creative thinking. In other words, the thinking then tells me how to create.
But you have to feel safe. that's really a critical part of it. And connected to that is our relative ability to trust. And that's why I believe in order to get there, you have to develop trust. If your trust has been betrayed, you're going to be leery of doing that. You think?
Well, that takes a whole lot of people.
We're supposed to wind it up now, I think. We're right at that time. This is Inside Out, The Naked Truth.
And this is Rochelle Alicia Strider.
You think?
I do. I think very much about the fact that I'm Rochelle Alicia Strider. And I want to remind you.
Go.
Resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
You think?
I think.
Holmes in the morning. Holmes in the early morning. Newly aware sunshine domiciles. With shutters guarding against stray intrusive sunbeams. Lawns and spring outgrowths yawning as they roll into vision. First putterings with dishes and gardens. Hoses pour forth, windows open. A crystal clear good morning day with shadows crossing street signs and the reflections from slippery surfaces reminding me that I too am a part of this good morning awakening. Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, providing education on Job 1 for humanity, climate restabilization.
Come visit universespirit.org and learn more about the great adaptive challenges and transformative evolutionary adventures of our future.